You know, when we were kids, many moons ago, well, I remember my dad used an oil when the latches on the door would creak or he needed to get a little bit of rust out of this or that. He'd use a little can of oil, and the oil was called 3-in-1 oil. Now, some of you will remember that. I don't know if it's still on the market today or not. But anyway, good product. Good product indeed. You know, 3-in-1 oil served its purpose. Now, leads me to the name of my message today. It's called The Holy Trinity or Not. The Holy Trinity. What do we have here? 3-in-1. One of three. The Holy Trinity. Now, one of the biggest problems that we as Christians face all the time when witnessing to someone who has actually no knowledge whatsoever concerning the Holy Trinity, the first thing they'll say when you mention God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is, I wanted to believe in a triune God, but I just couldn't wrap my brain around it. I mean, I believe in God, but you can't make me believe that Jesus Christ is God. And as far as the Holy Spirit goes, well, that only complicates matters. Ooh, you bet it complicates matters when you don't believe. You see, we're talking about faith here. We're talking about trust in God's Word. Wow. I'm telling you now, that's a very serious situation. Most people believe there is a God. But it's a God that fits into the parameters of what they want to believe, not what they need to believe. To many, well, God is anyone or anything they want him or her to be. The God they believe is not the God of the Bible. The God they believe in is not the God of the Bible, unfortunately. Their God is a servant unto them. They are not servant unto him. Oh, no. When they try to incorporate the Son of God as being God, then their common biological brain refuses to compute. And to even suggest a third person, that of the Holy Spirit, well, then their brain waves become violently adverse to such a notion. This, my friends, is a tragedy of the non-believer. The tragedy of the non-believer. And to compound this tragedy, they are some of the most joyful and content people in the whole world today. And if you allow them to lead you, guess what? They'll lead you all right. Right to hell's door. Right to hell's door. Wow. Any of you ever been there? I don't mean hell's door. I mean in what I'm talking about. You just can't wrap your mind around a Trinity. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy, you can't. It's difficult, isn't it? How three persons can be one, and one can be three. Any of you ever been at the point in your Christian beliefs that when you, when you just could not fully understand how three persons could be one, and how one person can be three? Anybody? I don't know. I never really gave it a lot of thought. When I got saved out of desperation. I mean, I didn't question anything. I just wanted God to save me through the blood of His Son. That's all. Everything else fell into place. There was no questions. Well, will you do this if I believe in you? Or will you give me this if I believe in you? No, there was no bargaining. It was, I need you, Lord. I need you. I believe in you. You're God. Simple as that. As simple as that. Let me preface my sermon with this thought. And I ask that you keep it in the back of your mind. Man is not God. And God is not man. God is outside of and beyond man's understanding. Okay? Now, how can we understand and accept this? Ready? By, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? By faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's faith, man, that's faith. We hope for eternity with God in heaven. And though we've not seen heaven or God, faith is our substance until we see the evidence. One day we'll see the evidence. Ever wonder what to say when the Jehovah Witness come to your door? Huh? You see, the Jehovah Witness, they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus was an angel, maybe Michael, and that he existed as a spirit before being made flesh. The Jehovah Witnesses have two gods, our God, the big God, and Jesus, the little God. They believe that Hebrews 1:6 tells them that Jesus was an angel. But they ignore verse 4. Now verse 6 reads, listen up now. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. But if we back up to verse 4, we read, being made so much better than the angels, better, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, than the angels. What's so hard to understand? Maybe they erased that verse from their Bibles, I don't know. First, we must identify God, all right? We must identify God. In Exodus 3, verse 14, God is identified as I am. When Moses asked, whom shall he say has sent him? Now go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, 58. Gospel of John, 8:58. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, here it comes, before Abraham was, I am. Now, note the capital B on the word before. It should be in your Bible, if it's a King James Authorized 1611, you'll notice, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham. There's a capital B on the word before. It's there to accent and separate a crucial statement. Let's read it together. again, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. What's so hard to understand? Jesus has identified himself as God. Over in John 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and my Father, capital F on Father, are one. I and my Father are one. Is Jesus a liar? No. Let Jesus be true and every man a liar. Or God be true and every man a liar. Same thing. Now, if we go to Revelation 1, we're going to read verses 12 to 16. Now, the Jehovah Witnesses agree. They agree that this is Christ. Quote, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps, with a golden girdle. 14. His head and his hairs were like wool, white as wool, rather, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, and if they burn as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Wow. That's God. That's God. And in verse 17, we read, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am the first and the last. There was nothing before me. There was nothing after me. Because he's eternal. He's eternal. And a verse from Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41 verse 4 reads, who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he. I am he. Oh, it just tickles my heart. Powerful, powerful words from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now back in Revelation 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, verse 8. The great proclamation. You ready? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Wow. He repeats the very same words in Revelation 11 and again in Revelation 22. Now we know that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, right? But what about the Holy Spirit? What about the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity? He too is God. In Acts 5, remember Ananias and Sapphira? How they lied to the Holy Ghost? Okay, let's go to Acts 5. Turn over to Acts 5. We want to make sure we get this right. This is so important that we get this right. Acts 5, I hope you have your Bibles ready, right there with you. It's always good to have your Bibles beside you. Okay. Ananias and Sapphira, they were punished, of course. We're going to read chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Will you read along with me? Now, you need a little more time to get your Bible there. Go ahead. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Okay? Okay, are you there? Okay. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. You getting the picture here? But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back a part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Now, it was about the space of 3 hours later, after, when his wife, not knowing what had happened, what was done, she came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether he sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Wow. Verse 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And finally, verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Great fear. Oh, you can imagine. I guess it'd be great fear. They both lied to God, the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. Not together, but separately. For their sin was very personal. You see what I mean? Their sin was personal. They could have done it together and tried to get it together, maybe in a different way, but they did it separately. So they both died. Wow. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and yet God Himself. God Himself. You know, there are numerous verses in Scripture that clearly define the role and the purpose of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of verses. My favorite is from Matthew 3. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Ooh. Here we have all three in two verses. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But these three are one. When Jesus had his earthly ministry, his number one goal was to glorify his Father in everything that he did. That was his aim in life, to glorify his Father. Wow. And so it is with the Holy Spirit, to glorify God the Father. God, the creator of heaven and earth, and all that is in them. Praise be to God. Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, the sacrificial Lamb and Savior of the world. Praise be to God. The Holy Spirit, messenger of the Most High and restraining force against sin. Praise be to God. All honor and glory belong to God the Father. God, He was, He is, and ever shall be. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. To not believe in the Holy Spirit is to not believe in God. I pray that this message today has been a blessing to you. It was a real blessing to me to put it together, to pray about it. And I'm so glad you listened in. And I pray you'll join me again next week for another message from the Word of God. If you have any questions you wish to ask me, anything at all, any thoughts you want to bring into my to my way of thinking, please do so. You people who I give this to, most of you are my brothers and sisters in the Lord anyway. You're on Facebook, on my Facebook page. You're on Twitter, on my Twitter page. But most of all, you're in my heart. You're in my heart with God. I love you all. Bless you. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.